Amen. Good morning, Terra Nova Church. My name is Rob Keprudis, and I am the worship arts pastor here at Terra Nova. And it's good for you to be here. We are glad that you are here to worship with us and celebrate this season of Advent that we are right in the beginning of. This is the first week leading up to Christmas Eve. And that means that we are just 4 short weeks away from Christmas. And I'm gathering that there's probably a little bit of nauseousness that arose up in some of the adults here that have thought, I haven't thought one gift or purchased the tree or anything like that. And probably most of you non-adults probably had your heart, you know, leap with joy inside your chest, just thinking of that wonderful Christmas morning when you get to open up all those gifts. Maybe some of you will be traveling for this Advent season for Christmas Eve, and that makes you excited, or maybe it doesn't make you excited. But if you happen to not be traveling, I want to extend an invitation to you to join us for our Christmas Eve service at the Troy Savings Bank Music Hall. That's right, we are going to be doing it again for the 3rd year. Over at Troy Savings Bank, just a quick walk over. And this is something that we have done for the past, this will be the 3rd year, and it's something that we want to develop as a tradition for not just Terra Nova Church and the people that attend Terra, but for the city of Troy. Like, we want this to be an opportunity for people who don't necessarily attend Christmas Eve service or don't really think about that, that the first thought that pops in their head is, oh, I remember there's a church that gathers at the Troy Savings Bank Music Hall, and we want that to be a part of our city. So invite friends and family if you're not traveling, co-workers, even your enemies, invite them to attend to hear about Christ's birth and his coming to this earth. So let's fill that place on Christmas Eve at 6 p.m., and you'll hear more about that announcement later on. During this Advent season, we covered these 4 themes that represent Advent. We have hope, we have peace, we have joy, and we have love at the end. And the theme that we're going to be looking at today is hope. I'm sure we have all desired at some point this image of a perfect Christmas morning, that you've woken up and the tree is still standing, it's lit, there's still water in it, and it's not going to burn up. You've had the opportunity to sleep in past the hour of 4 a.m. The kids aren't pulling at you, trying to get you to open up the gifts right away. You actually were able to wrap all the gifts before that 4 a.m. hour without fighting with your spouse. The breakfast was amazing. It wasn't burnt. It tasted amazing. Every gift that your child opened, they loved and appreciated, like that's ever happened. You even loved every gift that you were given. Our lives are a lot like that Christmas morning hope. We don't always get what we hoped for, and things don't always work out the way that they planned. Even more amazing about that fact of Christmas is the way that Hollywood gets this so right. There's not a movie out there that you could watch from beginning to end and everything is perfect on a Christmas morning. See, the aim of today's sermon is not the do's and don'ts of how to have a perfect Christmas morning. It's not even the do's and don'ts of how to have a perfect life. Rather, the end of this sermon, the end game of what we are trying to do here today, is to see how a lasting hope is only found in what Christ has done for us. Hope in a certain future that awaits for those who have placed their faith in the saving work of Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and his work on the cross and his resurrection from the dead. Maybe hope is something that you do not have this morning. Maybe it is something that you haven't experienced in a long time. Maybe you are at a place of great despair and discouragement, and everything in your life seems to be crumbling around you. Maybe the hope that you had was taken away by life circumstances and the letdowns that typically happen. Or maybe you are someone here that has never experienced this lasting, enduring, sustaining hope that gives us an assurance of a certain future, eternal life with your Lord and Savior. For those of you here today that have never experienced that kind of hope, that don't know what that hope looks like, God extends that to you in Christ Jesus. When we see in 1 Peter, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." For those of you that are here this morning and you're having a difficult time seeing the light through the dark night of your soul, find comfort in knowing that no matter how dark your present may seem, that there is future, that your future is secure in Christ through his life, his death, and his resurrection. And we see in Psalm 31, the psalmist says, "Be strong and take heart, all you who hope in the Lord." So here's where we're going to go today. Not the roadmap yet. So I've tried to make this as simple as possible because I'm a simple kind of guy. And I thought, what's the best way to get you to remember the entire sermon in just one word? And that word is not hope, that one. Present. But this is a word said two different ways, but with three different meanings. And here's what I mean by that. This is our roadmap. We have our present hope that fades and wavers over time and through life's difficult circumstances. Secondly, we have God's present of hope to us, the gift of lasting hope because of what Christ has accomplished for us. And lastly, how do we take that present of hope and we present that hope to those around us that may not know what hope really is? I'll be referencing many passages, so if you have your Bible, great. If you don't, that's not a big deal. I put the passages up there. If you want a Bible to hold on to, that's great. Raise your hand. So maybe somebody will bring one to you. Not sure. Let's pray as we begin. Father God, it is encouraging to know that even though we are the broken, sinful people that will lose hope at the snap of a finger, that you don't just extend that hope when we are reaching out to you. That you extend that hope even as we are in our state right now. God, and even in our worst places in life, God, you still extend that hope to us. God, let us not be people who think of this hope as just something that revolves around our circumstances or that in those moments of great need, we cry out to you, you extend that hope. But Father, that we would see that hope as a certainty, that it is there when we are failing and it is there when we are successful. So God, I pray that our hearts are changed to know more of who you are and the hope that you extend to us so that we may extend that to others. We pray all these things in Christ's precious and holy name. So let's talk about this present hope of ours, the thing that we try to hold on to here with our hands. I'm sure that every one of us at some point has longed for a sense of security in their life and may even feel that way today. We all desire this certainty that everything is going to be okay, that everything is going to be all right. You know, we want our bank accounts to have just enough money or maybe even more money to cover all of the expenses for that month. And when we look at our apps to see what our balance is, that they're actually in the positive numbers and not in the negative numbers. Especially at this time of year, it can be even more strenuous and more a strain on your marriage or on your life that your money is depleting out of your account faster than it's going in. I know that's true in my life a lot of times, especially this time of year. And we want, you know, our financial portfolio to be robust and diversified and to have our savings account just growing for retirement when that day finally comes and we want to do all the things that we planned on doing. Or we often will look at our behavior to provide us with a security that we crave, choosing to live in a way that our own righteousness is the thing that makes us okay, the thing that brings us comfort, that we can earn our way into feeling a sort of contentment. If we can just do this one good deed or this ethically right action, that somehow that this will give us the stability that we yearn for. Or maybe it's in the friendships that we cultivate, or the families that we try to create, surrounding ourselves with just the right people that think just the way that we do and do all the things that we want them to do. Choosing the perfect sports teams for our kids to be on, or maybe having to live in the safest of neighborhoods. Attending that faultless church that meets everyone's needs, like that even exists. In all of our efforts, we are trying to make our lives feel secure, trying to satisfy the longing in our hearts for hope. So maybe it's money, maybe it's friends and family and community, and maybe it's just your moral behavior. But the biggest flaw in all of these circumstances, all of these events, is us. We are the ones that bring the flaw to reality. In Psalm 33, it says, we wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield, and in him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. May your unfailing love be in us, be with us, Lord, even as we put our hope in you. You see, it doesn't say in that verse, as we put our hope in Rob, or we put our hope in the financial security that we have built, or the hope of our good morals and good behavior, or even the hope of our community and the friends that we have around, but rather it is placed in the Lord. All these things that we try to achieve and work to achieve security is just our feeble attempt to give us a hope that can never sustain the weight that we put on it. It can never give us a lasting hope that our hearts long for. And we see in Romans chapter 15, verse 13, that this is not how we should live. This is not the way that we should live our lives. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Not a temporal hope. When we don't feel that safety and we don't feel secure in ourselves, we are lacking that hope that God gives us. When we look at the things of this world, or we try to achieve on our own this sense of security, this sense of hope, it's really only a temporal, unsatisfying prospect of hope. It's not even a small reality of hope. So what is it that holds you back from letting go of what you cannot control? What are the areas in your life that you have decided you will settle for short-term, unsatisfying hope instead of the lasting hope that only God can give you? You see, once we decide to open our hands, we can receive what God is trying to give to us, his present of hope. You see, it's impossible to receive anything from anyone with closed fists. Yeah, sure, maybe you can fit a Pokemon card in the slot there, or maybe a tic-tac or two in there, but we're not really receiving a whole lot. And who wants a tic-tac that's been in your hand? The best part about it is that when we open our hands and we receive what God is giving to us, he is going to give us something so much greater, so much more wonderful than we could ever have achieved on our own. And we see this in Jeremiah 29:11. It says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." So what is this gift of hope that God offers us? What is this gift of hope that he extends? You see, biblical hope is a certain hope in what God will do in the future. Biblical hope is not only desiring something good for the future, but it expects it to happen. And it not only expects it to happen, it is confident that it will happen. At the heart of Christian hope is the resurrection of Jesus. And in our previous point, all that other hope, all those other things that we thought we could achieve hope is founded on the unknown or on things that can and will change. So things like we hope to get into a good college, or we hope that we get this job, or we hope that we found the perfect spouse, or we hope that our kids continue to stay healthy, or we hope to sell our house and someone buys it. The hope that God extends, that's a certain hope, both now and in the future. We see in Ephesians 2 a little bit more, verses 12 and 13. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. You see, our hope looks different when we see it the way that God gives it to us. Christ's resurrection is our ultimate basis for our certain hope. And I think it's worth repeating, and the slide will be up here this time, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." So maybe you know in your head this hope that we're talking about. But where are you at with believing in your heart that hope, this gift of hope? How are you doing with believing this hope when life does not go as planned? When you have just had the carpet ripped out from under you? When you've lost your job or your reputation has been dragged through the mud and it no longer looks like it used to, do you still have that same hope that looked like when you had everything all planned and everything goes just like you wanted it to? There's this little unknown band named Mercy Me. I'm not sure if you ever heard of them. They have this song called Even If, and I heard it on the radio recently, and yes, I will listen to Air One. I'm not ashamed. I have no shame in that. The chorus goes something like this. I know you're able, and I know you can save through the fire with your mighty hand. But even if you don't, my hope is you alone. So even in those sucky parts of life, he is still the only one who will sustain. Even when your earthly hope fades, he is still faithful. And even when life does not seem fair, he is sovereign and he is just. And maybe today you need an encouragement from a song that was written a long, long time ago before any of us we're even here. And this is more of an opportunity to explain and show you how this is nothing new, that this is something that has been going on from the beginning of time. Maybe you've heard it before. His oath, his covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. So I want you to answer a question for me in your minds this morning. I want you to fill in the blank after I read this sentence and say it to yourself. My hope is built on blank. How would you fill in that blank today? You see, the answer to that question is either going to sustain us, or the answer to that question will ultimately sink us. And as Christ followers, the answer to that question should be Jesus' blood and his righteousness. not our money, not our good morals, not our community, not our own righteousness. Nothing else will produce this certain hope that endures all of life's challenges and all of life's letdowns. Only Christ can do that. Isaiah 40, 31 gives us encouragement. It says, "But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint." Those who hope in the Lord. And before we are willing and able to share with others this enduring hope, we need to overcome our own selfishness and our own self-justifying nature. When men and women hope only in their own abilities or possessions, they really are not free to give of their own resources to others. When believers are justified by God's grace and receive his certain hope, then and only then are we free to share that with others. So maybe you know in your head this hope. Maybe you are even at a place where you believe this hope in your heart. But how are we doing with living out this gift of hope? You see, enduring hope offers security for the future, but it also is a loving involvement in sharing this hope in the present. 1 Peter 3:15 charges us, "But in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy." Here's the part. "Always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect." We don't always have to think to ourselves that we need to beat people over the head with what we know, that we need to share at all costs what this hope is. It says in here that we will have to give a reason for our hope, and that's by our actions, that's by the appearance that we set. But the burning question for the church today, the burning question for us today, is does the world ask, as opposed to us just telling them? Is the world asking us about our hope? If not, why not? Why are we as Christ followers not being asked to give an account for our hope? And Peter doesn't say in this verse how often it would happen or if it would happen. All he says is that be ready when it does happen. So we should be ready. But I believe that the answer for why we are not being asked to give an account for this hope is because we rarely show this hope. So let's take a moment now and let's pretend that somehow we were able to sneak someone in to spy on you at your workplace or spy on you at the places where you go to school or the places that you frequent. And let's say that they were able to spend a week or so, maybe a month, watching you and perceiving how you were acting. Would that person be able to pick you out from all your other coworkers or all your fellow students that you were different from the way that they act, that they actually saw Christ in you? Would they be able to see Christ in your speech, in Christ in your mannerisms, in Christ in your action, in Christ in everything that you do? Or would you just look like everyone else that you work or go to school with? See, that is not what God has called us to. Because as disciples of Jesus, we are challenged to be set apart and have our lives look differently from those around us, but also differently than what we used to do. We are called to something different. In Galatians 2, we see this when it says, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. In the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." So if we truly call ourselves Christians, then we have this hope that Christ has given to us. And with that hope, we should be reflecting Christ to those around us. Because when this hope moves from our head to our heart, it's a natural progression that extends out through our hands as we share this hope. You see, your life will look transformed as Christ is in you. And you will reflect this hope of Christ. And people will ask for the reason why this has happened. But the second part of 1 Peter is another question for us, church. Is another question for us today. Are we ready to give the reason for our hope? Are we prepared? Because when the outward appearance mimics the inward heart transformation, we will be asked to give an account for why it's happened. So let us not lose sight of how big and how huge the calling is for us to go and make more and better disciples of Jesus, to let the light of Christ in us shine so that all of those around us that are in darkness might see that light and see that hope. Be praying that the Holy Spirit would reveal to you what you might need to change in your own life so that not only will people see the hope in you, but that you will be ready to give an account for that hope and share it. Study God's word. Prepare yourself to profess your hope when asked to give a reason for it. We must not be a church full of people who are not willing to be missional with their faith, that hide it to themselves, but rather we should be reflecting the hope that resides in our hearts because of what Christ has done for us. He is our hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. I want to wrap all of this up in a tight little bow for your present. Today, you have a choice. Just like you have a choice every day. Will you choose to live in a way that reflects Christ? Or will you live in a way that makes you blend in with the rest of the world? During this season of Advent, let us not only know this lasting hope, this lasting peace and joy and love. Let us believe it in our hearts and be willing to extend and live it out for all to see what lasting hope and peace and joy and love look like so that the world may know. I'm going to ask the band to return and lead us in a few songs as we celebrate communion. And the only reason why we can celebrate this is because of what God has done for us in Christ Jesus. The ultimate gift, the ultimate sacrifice that he gave for the things that we deserved. He paid the penalty for our sins. He paid the price that we owed. If you're a follower of Christ and you call him Savior, you're welcome to partake with us. And anytime during these next two songs, come forward. Someone will be holding the matzah and somebody will be holding the wine and the juice. Take the matzah representing the body broken for you, Christ's body broken for you, and dip it in the wine and the juice representing his blood that was shed for you. Remember the gift that God extends to us in Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, you give to us so much. God, you extend things to us even though we have no right to them. You have given us Jesus God, but sometimes we hold on to that and we do not want to let it go. And we do not want to let other people see it. God, I pray that you would move that away from our hearts. Pull that out of us. So God, that we can share with people the hope that you have given to us. Let us not be people who continue to live life as though we look like everyone else. But let us be set apart. Let us be people that reflect Christ and not get in the way of people seeing him. We pray this all in Christ's name.